Ryan did not start the fire. It was Sandy and Amy. So if you know that reference, there you go. So hey, it was a great week. Shout out to Elizabeth, our children's director. Give her a round of applause, all the work she did. Shout out to Bianca, our preschool director, wherever she is. And Sandy Lepard and her team with leading the decorations and all that. Shout out to them. And just everybody who made this a great week. So much thanks to all of you and who put in the time and the energy. I just want to take just a few moments before we go and eat some food and talk to you about the most important thing, and that is the gospel. And so many people are like, what is the gospel? What does that word even mean? Well, it means good news. And I want to talk just for a few moments about the good news of Jesus. And to help understand the good news of Jesus, we're going to look at five images. And the first image is a crown. And this crown helps to remind us that God rules, meaning God made everything and he made everyone. As we told the kids this week, he is the creator and sustainer of everything. Not only did he make us, but he upholds us. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the galaxies. He created the stars and the planets. He created the planet you and I live on, and he made us. Colossians 1:16 says that in him, specifically in the Son, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And then in Revelation 4:11, we read that God created all things and that by his will, they were created and have their being. So in other words, God created everything and everyone. Nothing was made except what was made by him and for him. And when he created us and he created this world, life was good. Life was pleasant and as it should be. We had communion with God. We had relationship with God. But then we come to the second image, a red X. And this red X reminds us that we sinned. Not some of us, but all of us. All of us sinned. Now, what exactly is sin? Simply put, sin is anything we think, say, do, or don't do that displeases God. And again, it's not just that some of us have sinned, it's that all of us have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. Every one of us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And here's the really bad news as a result of that. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, wage, that, you know, like, what does wage mean? Most of us think about that in terms of maybe our jobs or our careers. A wage is a payment we deserve as a result of our own work. So I told the kids, I said, listen, if I paid you $10 to come mow my yard, which, by the way, parents, I'll pay them $10 to come mow my yard. That's a good deal, I think, right? And so if I said, hey, I'm going to pay you $10 to come mow my yard, and they come mow my yard, they now deserve $10. That is their wage. That is what they have earned by their own work. Well, here's the thing. God is life, and God is light. Therefore, because of our sin, what the Bible is saying is what we deserve by our own work is separation from the life, separation from the light. We deserve death. That is what we have a right to now because of our sin. And it's not just that we deserve this, we're in this. The Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are dead in our sin, and we are in darkness. That's the really bad news. But here's the really good news, and this brings us to image number three, the cross. At the cross, we're reminded that because he loves us, God provided. God provided Jesus. As the students learn this week, Jesus is God's promised son, his perfect son, his powerful son, his proven son, and his plan for forgiveness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, he provided his one and only son. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates or proves or shows his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. John would say like this: this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son or provided his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, what in the world does that mean? Atoning sacrifice. That sounds like a very high, churchy, religious kind of word. What does it mean? Well, the word atonement, sometimes you see it in the scriptures as propitiation, is a word that means simply this: the means by which sins are forgiven. Like, what does that mean? The phrase "the means" means the very thing which makes something possible. So if I have $10, meaning I didn't pay your child to come mow my yard and I still have that $10, then I now have the means to go buy a burger for lunch. It's the very thing that makes something possible. So in other words, the only means by which you and I have forgiveness, by which you and I are in the light or in life, is by, in, and through possible. Jesus is the only one that makes forgiveness possible. He's the payment we need for the forgiveness of sins. Without him, there is no forgiveness. It's why John wrote that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He is the means by which our sins are forgiven, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the means by which our sins are forgiven. Paul said it like this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Peter put it this way: for Jesus also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you and I to God. So yes, we sinned. We were separated from God. We deserved death. We were in death. We were in darkness. But God in love provided Jesus to take our place so that we might be forgiven and brought back to God to share in his light and to share in his life. Which brings us to number four, the fourth image, a gift. In and through Jesus, we're reminded that God gives us eternal life. He gives us the forgiveness of sins in and through Jesus. God has given us the greatest gift there is, and that gift has a name, and that name is Jesus. Romans 6:23, we saw part of it earlier: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul in Ephesians 2 said, it's by grace you have been saved. Grace is something he gives us that we don't deserve. He gives us this gift. We have been saved. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. You didn't accomplish this or attain it by works so that no one can boast. So God has provided us and given us a gift, which now takes us to the fifth and final image. These hands remind us that we are to respond to the good news. What is our response to the good news? Will we receive the gift or reject the gift? Will we repent or turn from sin, turn from living for self, and now live for Jesus and live to Jesus? Will we receive or reject the gift of Jesus? Jesus is very clear in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, not a way, the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. You say, well, then how do I get forgiveness? How do I enter into light? How do I enter into life? How do I gain access to the Father? what he tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. Jesus would say like this elsewhere, John 6:29, the work of God is this. This is what the work that he requires of you. Believe in the one he has sent. Believe in him. Peter would tell thousands, repent and be baptized, meaning turn from sin and turn to Jesus. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you would do that, you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the light and the life in you. Romans 10, Paul would say, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And finally, Jesus said it like this, I am the resurrection and the life. There is no other. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So what's the response? God's done everything. The work is finished. Jesus declared it on the cross. He's provided. He sent his one and only Son. He accomplished what needed to be accomplished in order to give us access to God again. But what is our response? Believe or disbelief? Receive the gift or reject the gift? This is the gospel. We sinned against the God who made everything and everyone. We were separated from him in death and deserving death, in darkness and deserving darkness. But God made a way in and through Jesus. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus was bodily resurrected from the dead. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. Jesus lives right now. The question is what is our response to him? Believe or disbelieve? So with heads bowed, eyes closed across the room, I'm going to invite some of you to do just that. Respond to the gospel. The students sang a song earlier that kind of helps them put this into words for them, this idea of ABC, admit, believe, confess. Admit that I'm a sinner. Admit that I need God's forgiveness. And believe in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in and through his death, burial, and resurrection, and to confess him as my Lord and Savior. The picture is Peter drowning in the water. That is us, all of us drowning in our sin. And we can try to yell, scream, try to grab for something, but it's only the hand of Jesus that can save us. And so for some of us, our response here this morning to the gospel is, Lord, save me. And if that's you, I'm going to actually say a prayer. It's not about the words. It's about your disposition towards the Lord and a true surrender. It's about the words matching what you believe in your heart. And so if that's you, I'm going to walk you through that. But no, it's not just lip service to God. It is a full surrender to God. It is a deny self, pick up your cross and come follow him. It is die to self. He lives in you and through you now. It's no longer living for self or living your truth or living your way. It's now living his truth, his way. And if that's you, say, I'm ready, then this, I'm going to walk you through that. And if you say, man, I've already done that, thank the Lord for that. Let this be a time for you just to pray and give thanks to God and to pray for those next to you, those in our community, those in our culture and in our world. Dear God, we come to you right now. And Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I sinned against you. I admit that I am dead in my sins, hopeless in my sins. But I believe that you sent Jesus, your one and only Son, to die in my place. And I believe that he rose from the dead and lives right now. and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. Lord, save me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand with us. We're going to play this song and just have a time of invitation. You're not going to know this song, but spend some time in prayer. Think about the words. Pray the words. Spend some time just in prayer to God. But if you have made a decision, this time is for you to come forward and talk more about it. Make it public. You can talk to me about it. But it's this moment for you to respond in this time of invitation. I'm going to be just right up here, and you can come forward as we play this song.